Today's Shir Masechet Shabbos Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of Amar. So, in our previous Shir, we discussed that if there's an area which is in a skupa, which in the previous Shir we discussed means that it's a makom p'tur between a Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRabim, people may place objects from the Rishus HaYachid onto their skupa. It's a makom p'tur. People may put objects from the Rishus HaRabim on the makom p'tur, but they may not use the makom p'tur as a mode of transfer between the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus HaRabim. So, Amar, and that's where we begin today's shir. We learned in yesterday's shir, Uvachli Yitim Balabayis V'noisin L'Ani. You may not use the area from the transfer from the Balabayis and the Rishus HaYochid to the Ani and the Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, you may not use the skupa to be a mode of transfer me Ani v'noisin L'Balabayis from the Ani and the Rishus HaRabim to the Balabayis who's in the Rishus HaYochid. However, if it was done that way, shloshtem peturim, they're all potter. The reason they're all potter is as we explained, because at the end of the day, that area is still a makom p'tur. So we see from here that if somebody transfers from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim through a makom p'tur, he's potter. Potter, as we always learn in this Masechta, means potter avalosser. It's also medrabanan, but it's potter, but it's potter avalosser, not osam b'deraisa. Ask the Gemara, lema to have a tiyufta, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rava. It seems that this is contrary to what Rava taught us. Amar Rava, hamevi chayfetz, if somebody transfers an object, mitchilas arba l'soif arba b'rishus harabim, as we've learned many times in our Masechet already, transferring an object, dalat amas b'rishus harabim, is an issur d'raisa on Shabbos. So if somebody transfers an object for four amos in Rishus HaRabim, afapisha heviroi, even though when he actually did the transfer, it was derech olav, it was holding the object above himself. And as we've learned so many times in this Masechta as well, Rishus HaRabim does not go l'mal masar tfachim. So the actual transfer of the object was through a makom p'tur, he's still chayiv. So we see that even though you carried something through a makom p'tur, you're chayiv. So why over here, if you carried this object from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, through a makom p'tur, is a potah avalosam? Answers the Gemara, hosam loinach. In the case of Rava, where you carried the object through the Rishus HaRabim, it never came to Hanocha. Hocha, whereas in our case, Hochanoch, the object came to a full Hanocha in the Rishus of Makom P'tur. And therefore, it's not similar. And therefore, indeed, if somebody carried something the way Rava described it, from the Rishus HaYochid for Dalar Amos and the Rishus HaRabim, but he made a Hanoch in the Makom P'tur before he made the Hanoch in the Rishus HaYochid, he would be indeed Potter. There are, however, different opinions that say that there's a Rishonim that want to make a difference between the carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim and the carrying of Dalat Amos in Rishus HaRabim, where indeed when you carry Dalat Amos from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, but you pass, so the Isser is the Isser of Aitzah, Achnasa, of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, there the halacha will be that you potter avaloser if it went through a makom p'tur, versus the malacha of Mavid Dalat Amos Rishus HaRabim, which is an entirely different type of melacha. And since it's an entirely different type of melacha, it could be that there's a chiyuv, even though it went through a makom p'tur. Says the Gemara, Acherim Aymrim. So when we learned this Braisa on the Avov, where the Braisa taught us the halacha of carrying from Shesayacha to Rishus Rabbim through a Makom Patur, we learned that the Acherim Aymrim, a scoop of Meshameshes Shtei Rishuyos. The scoop sometimes could be considered Rishus HaYochid, and sometimes it could be considered Rishus HaRabim. The Acherim said, Bezman Shepesach Pesuach, at a time where the door to the home, which the eskupa is in front of, is open, then kilfnim, the eskupa will have the status of Rishus HaYochid. If Pesach no, if the door to the area where the scoop to the home where the scoopa is closed, however, then the area of the scoopa will have a din kalachutz, it'll have a din like Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is assuming that this scoopa is an opening to a mavui. And as we've discussed previously, a mavui is an area that has three walls. And because it has three walls, midaraisa, it's Rishus HaYochid. However, the mavi, which leads into the Rishus HaRabim, Chazal were concerned that if one will be allowed to carry in the mavi without doing something special, he may come to carry in the Rishus HaRabim as well. So the way Chazal said you could carry in the mavi is by placing a lechi or a kaira at the entrance of the mavi, at that open side. A lechi is a side post. A kaira is a board or a beam that crosses the entrance from one side to the other side of the mavi. So now the question is, if somebody puts up a lechi in order to be able to carry in a mavi. So the lechi is a board that I'm putting on one of the walls that are entrance of the mavi. And the question is, how far can I carry in that mavi? Can I carry all the way through the mavi to the beginning of the lechi, as we look at the lechi from inside the mavi, or to the end of the lechi? I've got the lesley lechi. So the Gemara is assuming that the entrance of the eskupa is before the lechi, is before the lechi, and that area doesn't have a lechi. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. If you want to carry inside that opening, which is where inside that opening there is no lechi, the loch is tzarech. You can't carry inside that opening without a lechi. Because as we said a moment ago, you may never carry within a mavui unless there's a lechi. So if there's no lechi in that area, the halacha is that you can't carry there. And as the Gemara Masechta Erevin explains this Gemara, the only way you would be able to carry in that area is by putting up another lechi. But the Gemara does quote there a machloikus, not really a machloikus, but different qualifications than Rav and Rava, the Rava and Abaye give to understanding this Gemara. Rava says, if that area is less than Dalet al Dalet, you would be allowed to carry there even if you don't have another lechi. Abaye says, if the eskupa is less than three tefachim tall, entering into the Rishus HaRabim. But if it's more than three tefachim tall, again it becomes a makom patur for itself. It wouldn't require a lechi. And in fact, Tosfos asks the question, if we have what Rav and Abaye taught us in that Gemara, why does our Gemara have to give us another teretz? But the question is, if the lechi is past the askupa, so why can't you carry there? How could you carry there? You don't have a lechi preparing that it should be a place that you could carry. As we just suggested, the less by Arba al Arba, that this area of the scoop doesn't have Dalad al Dalad, and since it doesn't have a Dalad al Dalad, another Lechi is not required. Ask the Gemara, because Rav Amar Chilma Begirya Amarav, Rav Chilma Begirya Amarav taught us, Toicha Pesach, that this area, Afpi, contrary to what Rav and Abaya teach us in Masechta Erevin, Afpi Shein by Arba al Arba, even though it doesn't have its own space of Dalat Fachim or Dalat Fachim, the Loch is Tzarech Lechi Achilat Tiroi. So why could you carry here without, why could you carry here without the Lechi? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, the way to understand the case that the Achayrim are referring to, Hocha Baskupis Mavi Yiskinen. Again, as we've said before, this Askupa is entering into a Mavi. As we also said before, in order to be able to carry in a Mavi, you have to have either a Lechi, a side post, or a Kaira. A Kaira is a beam going across the entrance of the Mavi. And the Kaira that's on the opening of this Mavi, Chetzi Makura, part of the Skupa is covered by the Kaira, the Chetzi She'en Makura. And part of the opening of the part of the area of the Skupa is not covered by the beam. The Kruyev, and the beam is going towards the inside of the Mavi. Pesach Pesuach, so when the door to the entrance is open, so we treat the area under the cross beam like inside the Mavi. And since it's inside the Mavi, anything that's under the beam, any area that's under the beam, you could carry in that area. However, Pesach, no, when it's closed, so the beam is completely in the Mavi. And the scooper is completely closed off from an area where there is a Kaira. And therefore, you can't carry there. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi gives a different way of understanding the Braisa. Loilam beskupas bayisaskinen. We're not talking, says, about the scooper that's inside opening up to a Mavi. But rather, we're speaking about a scooper that's opening up to a home. Usually, the threshold is completely covered with a beam on top of it. Here, there are two beams. Neither beam itself has the depth of four tefachim, so it's not considered a full-fledged beam. Furthermore, even you have these two skinny beams, and there are no three tefachim between these two skinny beams. For as we learned in our previous year, if there are three tefachim, if there are less than three tefachim between two areas, the halacha is that we say loved, and that would make that the two skinny beams are really now considered one thick beam. Neither beam has a depth of four tefachim, and furthermore, and there are no three tefachim between the two beams connecting the two beams. V'delas b'emtza, and there's a door between the two beams. So Pesach Pesuach says, say the Acherim, if the door is open, kilaflim. So when the door of the entrance of the house is open, then we look at the two beams as one beam. And therefore, the entire area is considered like inside the house. Pesach, no. However, when there, so again, there's less than three tefachim, so we ought to apply loved, but we can't apply loved because the house door being closed separates these two beams. So even though technically we have less than three tefachim between the two beams, which should connect the two beams, the closing of the door which disconnects, separates the two beams, prevents us from being able to say Lovid to connect the two beams to have the proper size beam. However, Pesach Pesuach, so when the doors open, so then we look at them as connected. Pesach Nol, but when the door is closed, it separates the two beams, and therefore we don't have the proper coverage over the two beams. And if we don't have the proper coverage over the two beams, the area under the Eskupa becomes considered like it's still part of the Rishus HaRabin. As the Mefarshim points out, it has to be that the Eskupa is not three tefachim tall. Because if the entrance to the Eskupa had a platform entering into it over three tefachim, so as we said in the previous shir, that makes it into its own distinct makom patur no matter what. Here we're talking in a case where the entrance, this area under the Eskupa, is not three tefachim tall. Since it's not three tefachim tall, it can't be considered an entrance into the area of the how it can't be considered its own area. And therefore we have to look if it has a beam I could carry under it because it makes it part of the house. If it doesn't have a beam, then it's outside. And if it has a beam, two skinny beams, if they're connected through Lovid, they're considered like one proper beam. If not, the door separates them, they can't be connected, and there's no proper beam, and you can't carry under that beam. We learned further in the Braisa on Daf Vav, V'imeskopa gvoya sar v'rach v'abba. If the skupa has its own proper dimensions, it's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, hareza rishus la'atzma. Then it's considered a rishus for itself, and you can't carry from it to the rishus ha'yachid or it to the rishus ha'rabim. Besaila Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Dom Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Oyma hay Rav Meya, Kam makom shat moitzei shtei rishuyos. When you find two distinct areas that are separated by an area that's 10 tefachim high, kigon omid rishus ha'yochid gvoy asar v'roch of arba, that makes it into rishus ha'yochid, osel katafalov. One may not use that area to put something down. Kzeir mishum tel b'shus rabim. Because Chazal were concerned that just like if you would have a mound in the rishus rabim, the halacha is that of course, so the mound has all of the characteristics of a Rishus HaYochid. It's 10 by 4 by 4. And somebody was standing in the Rishus HaRabim. If he would put down something on that area, he would be chayiv for putting something between a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim. So if the threshold also has separate dimensions, therefore it has the same halacha, and you can't use that area to put something down on that area because you're carrying, even from the house, which is a Rishus HaYochid, you're not allowed to carry. The reason you're not allowed to carry even from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid is because if you're going to be allowed to carry from the house to that area, although both of those areas are Rishus HaYochid, you may come to carry from the Rishus HaRabim to that area. And that area, as we just explained, has all the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. You may come to carry Chas V'Sholem from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochid. Begins our Mishnah with teaching us various halachas that one may not do, of different activities one may not do before davening mincha. I will explain in the shir what mincha exactly, what, when, where. Of course, the question is that Rashi already asks, how does this Mishnah come into our Masechta? We're learning Hilchos Shabbos. This is perhaps something we should have learned in Masechta Brachos. So Rashi explains, because we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, the lo yetzei chayit b'machtoi, because we're concerned if I'm going to allow the tailor to walk out with his needle on Erev Shabbos, he may forget and carry it on Shabbos as well. So therefore, our Mishnah also teaches us the that you're not allowed to do these different activities because you may come to forget and daven. So, of course, the Rambam asks on this. So then we should have first taught the halacha, which does very much belong in Masechta Shabbos, of lo yetzei chayit b'machtoi, which is a Hilchos Shabbos din. And after we learn the Hilchos Shabbos din, then we could learn the Hilchos Mincha din, which is similar to it. The order should have been reversed. So the simple teretz that the Rishonim offer is that the halachas of what you're not allowed to do before mincha are not as extensive as all the halachas we're going to learn about what you're not allowed to do Erev Shabbos. So therefore, first we learn these halachas, even though they're not really the main sugya of our masechta. And then afterwards, we're going to learn and spend a lot of time discussing Hilchos Shabbos. Another explanation that the Chasam Sofer suggests, that one of the halachas, and the Bnei Yisoschar expands on that pshat, that one of the halachas we're speaking about is taking a haircut. And in the Gemara, we're going to learn that it was a special haircut. We're not, the one opinion holds that we're talking about a special haircut. We're talking about a haircut of Ben Alosha, which was the haircut that the Kohen Gadol took. And that was a haircut that was taken by the Kohen Gadol every Erev Shabbos. So we're learning halachas that are relevant to Erev Shabbos because this was a haircut that was taken every Erev Shabbos. And in fact, the Neisoscha says, if you look at all the activities that are spoken about in our Mishnah, taking a haircut, going to the Merchatz, stopping to work, all of these are activities that were done on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, it very much belongs in our Masechta. And that's what the Rosh Hashanah says as well. Since our Mishnah is talking about taking a haircut, and a haircut is taken, if you have to take a haircut, you should take it on Erev Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, Lo yeshev adam lefnei asaper. A person shouldn't sit before, take a haircut, samach lemincha, before mincha. So the Mepharshim ask, the Shabbos Shalmi asks, why does our Mishnah use this type of language? The Mishnah should have said, osur lestaper samach lemincha. So he says that we would think that since, by definition, whenever you take a haircut, there's a two people involved, the person who's receiving the haircut and the person who's giving the haircut. And therefore, we would think that it's not usur to take a haircut because the person who's giving you a haircut will remind you. Still, Chazal said, don't take a haircut. Another pshat, and this is a shayla halacha lemaisa. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, taking a haircut doesn't take so long. So why are you not allowed to take a haircut? The answer is, because we're concerned that the scissors, the machine that the barber is using may break, and you're not going to walk out with your hair cut, half cut, and therefore, till the machine, the scissors get repaired, the halacha will be that you're going to miss mincha. So what would be the halacha if your barber has a number of machines? If your barber has a number of scissors? So even if one breaks, he has a different machine, a different pair of scissors he could use. So that Shaira Sechuvis says that our Mishnah is coming to teach us that the halacha is that you're not allowed to take a haircut under any circumstances, a very big chiddush. I did see that there are poskim that are more lenient and say that if you're taking a haircut in a place where there's adequate equipment, that even if one breaks, another one could be used, there is no issur. So again, lo yeshu adam lefnei saper somach lemincha achi yispalo, until you daven. So of course, the obvious question is, why is this halacha specifically by mincha? Not by any other tefillah do we find such a Mishnah. So the Torah explains, Tefillah Shachris, everybody knows, you start the day with davening Shachris. And nobody goes to work and does different activities before you daven Shachris. Ma'ariv, we learned in the Masechta Brachos, that a person comes home from work. In those days, he didn't even go home. He would first go to shul and daven Ma'ariv, and then he would go home. Mincha, which is the middle of the day, and a person is very busy during the day, and he has to stop whatever he's doing to go daven Mincha. And that's in fact why he says, the somat schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives for people who daven Mincha, how they stop in the middle of their busy day to go daven Mincha. But because Mincha is davened in such a way, Chazal were concerned that person will forget to daven Mincha and they pay these gzeres. Also, the Mefarshim ask, the Mishnah says, Ad sheyispalel, until he davens. Why does the Mishnah say the words Ad sheyispalel? If, as we just explained, the entire purpose is to teach us that you have to do daven and then do whatever you have to do. So if he davened, he could do whatever he has to do. So I saw that the Chasam Sofer answers that we're concerned that there's a different concern. One concern is that maybe he should wait until he finishes Ma'ariv. Why should we wait till he finishes Ma'ariv? So he gives two explanations. Number one, like that we'll be certain that he davens Ma'ariv. And number two, he says, beautiful. He says, so yes, this person knows that he can't take a haircut or do the other activities listed in our Mishnah until he davens Mincha. But if this person knows in the back of his head that I want to take a haircut, I want to do the different activities, he'll daven Mincha very quickly without davening Mincha properly because he has in his mind everything that he still needs to do. Maybe we should therefore say, says the Chasam Sofer, you're not going to be able to do whatever you have to do until it's night. So there's no point in rushing your Mincha. You won't be able to resume your activities. Teaches us the Mishnah, says the Chasam Sofer, that no, once you daven Mincha, I'm going to allow you to do what you need to do. Furthermore, a person shouldn't enter a bathhouse or shouldn't enter a tannery, that whatever they do in a tannery, v'loy lechol, he may not begin to eat, v'loy ledin, he may not begin a din Torah. All of these things may not be done before he davens Mincha. However, v'meschilu, but if he started, which he shouldn't have, emef seken, we don't stop him. And this din that we just learned is the basis of a famous tshuva from the Shalos HaTshuvos Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov discusses a situation where we know on Chanukah everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah and a mufchor, it's preferable to use oil for your Chanukah candles. Let's say somebody came home and he didn't find oil. He doesn't have any oil. He only has regular candles, and now it's the zman to light the Chanukah candles. And so he starts preparing his menorah with regular candles. And before he lights the menorah, he gets olive oil. Do we tell him to remove those candles and put in the olive oil? Or since he started using candles, even though he didn't light them yet, he should finish using candles and not use the olive oil. So the Shalos HaTshuvos Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Zayin discusses this question, and he says, just like our Mishnah says, "V'meschilu emaf seken." Once you began using your regular candles, you should continue using the candle. You should use those candles and not use the oil that came. He says we find a similar shaila in the Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Yaakov Simen Chavov. We're going to learn in Masechta Yevamos that if a person died without any children, so his brothers have to do chalitza. The mitzvah l'chatchila is that the oldest remaining brother should do the chalitza. But let's say the oldest brother isn't here, so they took a younger brother. And as the younger brother is preparing to do the chalitza, the older brother arrives. So halacha is, once the younger brother began, we don't stop and choose to take the older brother. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees. The Chacham Tzvi's opinion is that once you begin, that as long as you haven't lit the oil menorah yet, the candles, you've just prepared them, but you haven't lit them, the halacha is, and as we discussed, using oil is preferable. So he says, take off the regular candles and use the oil. And so too is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan as well. However, says the Mishnah, Mafsikin Lekrishma, if somebody was in the middle of activity and this man Krishma comes, so since the dinim, this man of Krishma is a din deraisa, so it's entirely in different type of situation, and therefore you are mafsik for Krishma. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, is it only for the first parasha, for the Shema, the Hafta, for all three? The halach is for all three. Ve mafsik l'tfilah. Tfilah is only the Rabbanon. We discussed extensively in Masechta Brachos if the chiv tfilah is a the rights of the Rabbanon. And we quoted the opinion of the Rambam many times that the Rambam holds that tefillah is the Raisa. So why is the Mishnah differentiating between tefillah and Krishma? So certainly according to the Ramban, who holds that tefillah is the Rabbanon, we could understand the difference between tefillah and Krishma. But even according to the Rambam, who says that tefillah is the Raisa, he holds that only he agrees that only one tefillah a day is a deraisa. And here we're speaking about mincha. So this person already davened shachris. So the mincha, even the Rambam, is a chiv deraisa, is a chiv derabbanan. And that's why there's a difference between krishma, which is a deraisa, and tefillah is a derabbanan. Of course, say Rashi and Tosfos, that all the halachas that we've been learning here are in a situation where it's time to daven mincha and even after you finish doing whatever you're doing. But if it's going to be a situation where you won't have time to daven mincha, of course you have to stop and daven mincha. That's not the discussion here. Ask the Gemara. We said, we began our Mishnah, that samach l'mincha, you're not allowed to do any of these activities. As we know, every day there's mincha gedoyla and mincha ketana. Mincha gedoyla is a half an hour after chatzos. That's when the day starts to become dark. It's called mincha gedoyla because there's a lot of time from when that begins until the end of the day when you could still daven mincha. From that time, since from that time the carbon tamid shebein abayim could already be brought, you could start davening mincha. However, the carbon tamid typically was brought later in the afternoon, because the halacha is aleh hashlim kol hakabonos kulam. Once the tamid shebein abayim was brought, you cannot bring another. You cannot bring any more kabonos. So they wanted to have time during the duration of the day to be able to bring kabbanas. So there's a separate time. So the first, there's a separate time which is called mincha ketana. Mincha ketana is 3 hours later after the mincha gedoyla. And the question is, which is 3.5 hours after chatzos. So ask the Gemara, which mincha are we talking about that we're not allowed to do these different activities? If we're saying that once it's a half an hour before the mincha gedoyla, you may not do these activities, am I lie? Why shouldn't you be allowed to do these activities? There's plenty time to still daven mincha. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked a question. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, teaches us that on the night before Pesach, the night of Bedikas Chametz, a Talmud Chacham may not begin to learn because he may forget and not do Bedikas Chametz. But the time that you can do Bedikas Chametz is all night long. So still the halach is, you're not allowed to do something that may make you forget, that may, once you have the chiyuv. Why? Because it didn't. It was reason magdim la mitzvahs. So why over here also, don't we say, yes, there's still indeed plenty time to daven mincha, but because of the concept of reason magdim la mitzvahs, we should not be doing any activity even close to mincha gedoyla. Answers the Pnei Yeshua. That we can't, that by B'dikas Chametz, indeed, there's a concept of Zrizim Magdim LaMitzvahs. When it comes to Davening Mincha, however, he says there is no concept of Zrizim Magdim LaMitzvahs. Because he says, and this is an important word, the proper time to Daven Mincha, he says, is not earlier in the day, but rather later in the day. So there's a fundamental difference between Davening Mincha and B'dikas Chametz. B'dikas Chametz indeed should be performed as soon as possible. And therefore, we're concerned that the Talmud Chacham, if he begins to learn, won't do the B'dikas Chametz in the preferable time. What is the preferable time? When you start at the beginning of the night. Mincha, it's not necessarily preferable to daven at that time. And since it's not preferable to daven mincha at that time, there's no reason for Dim LaMitzvahs. And why, therefore, can't I do activity at that time? Says the Gemara, El Samach L'Mincha Ketana. What is Peshat in our Mishnah? We're talking about that's ready by the Mincha Ketana, which is 9.5 hours into the day. And that means a half an hour before, the halacha is, you should not do different activities. But the halacha is, we learned in our Mishnah, if that's the case, we learned in our Mishnah, Mischilu Emesikim, name it to have it to Yuchta Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This should be a question on what Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught us. Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kim Shigiyasi Man Tfilis Mincha, once the time of the Mincha Ketana came, Osla Adam Shiyatim Klum, Kodim Shispal Tfilis Mincha. You now even take a taste. And as Tosfos explains, once Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught us so strictly that you now not even do Ti'ima at that time. So, tima always means even just taking a taste, which is the comparable to doing anything at that time. So why does our Mishnah take a lenient opinion and say, Imes chilu ein lehafsik? Rabbi Shua ben Levi told us that you not even do tima at that time before you daven mincha. So asks Tosfos, how can we ask a question from Rav Shua ben Levi? Rav Shua ben Levi perhaps is talking about a person who started doing whatever he did in a time when he wasn't allowed to. Our Mishnah maybe is talking about that he started when he was still allowed to. So answers Tosfos that the Mishnah using the words in Meschil Emaf Sikin seems to be not only that he began these different activities when he was allowed to do them, but rather it means that he began these activities be'isser. And even though he began the activities be'isser, the halacha would be that he doesn't have to stop. Loi. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, our Mishnah indeed is talking about Samach L'Mincha G'dayla. The question was, if it's Samach L'Mincha G'dayla, you have plenty of time to daven, so why are we being so strict? Says that Gemara, it's talking about Taurus Pirus Ben Alosha. Ben Alosha was the son-in-law of Rebbe, who took a very expensive type of haircut that took a long time to do. And since he spent a lot of time taking a haircut, we're concerned that even though indeed there is plenty of time to daven, but the haircut also will take a lot of time. Similarly, when the Mishnah said v'loy l'merchetz, we're speaking about l'kula milsa d'merchetz. There's a full type, a full service bath, which takes a lot of time. The same thing when the Mishnah spoke about going to the tannery. It's talking about Burski Gedoyla, which takes a lot of time. V'loyla Echol also talks about Psuda Gedoyla. There's a question, what is the definition of a Suda Gedoyla? Tysus learns a Suda Gedoyla is a wedding, a bris milah, and a Suda Ketana is when a person's eating his own lunch, his own dinner. The Ran takes a more subjective approach. He says it depends on every person. Sometimes you eat a big meal, and sometimes you eat a small meal. The Gilyonei HaShas says it doesn't depend on the size of the meal. It says it depends on the amount of people at the meal. When there are a lot of people at the meal, it's considered a Suda Gedoyla. If it's just you eating privately, it's Suda Ketana. V'loyla Din, B'tchilas Din, at the beginning of the Din Torah, and the beginning of the Din Torah, it could take a lot of time still. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, Loylam B'tesporos the Din. We're talking about, the Mishnah is speaking about the Mincha Gedoyla, but it's talking about a regular haircut. So the question is, L'chatchila Ma'ilo Yeshiv. So if it's a regular haircut, and it's Mincha Gedoyla, and there's so much time till how much you could still daven Mincha, why can't you take the haircut? Says the Gemara, like we explained at the beginning of the sugya. We're concerned that your scissor may break, and even though the haircut, which should have taken a short amount of time, will now take much longer. Lazil Alma, the person just going in to take a short bath, just to take a quick, take some sweat. L'chatchila Ma'iloi, we're concerned Gzeir Shem Yisalef, he may faint, and then he won't daven Mincha. V'loi Leburski, he's going L'yuni Ba'alma, he's just going to examine his leather. L'chatchila Ma'iloi, so why are we being machmer? L'yuma Chazel B'seide B'zvina, he may indeed just go in to look at his leather, but he may see that they're getting ruined, and he's going to get busy with that. So it's a machlokes. Rashi seems to learn that he's going to see that he had a financial loss, and since he's going to see he had a financial loss, he'll get so upset and he won't daven. The Rambam, his, learns that he's going to try to salvage his leather, and what he thought would just take a short amount of time will end up taking much longer. V'loy lechel, we're even talking about a suda kedana. L'chatchila ma'iloi, so why can't you eat a small meal? You have plenty of time still to daven mincha. Dilma asulam shuchi, you may end up taking longer eating than you thought. V'loy ledin, it's even begmardin, where all the dayanim are doing are coming to give psak. L'chatchila ma'iloi, so if so, why should you can't give you the psak? Just issuing the psak takes a short amount of time. The answer is, Dilma Chazitama, somebody's going to ask a question on the psak, and now they're going to open up the whole psak all again, the Sasadina, and that could take a lot of time. So we had here a question, till when, how do we learn pshat in the Mishnah? If we look into the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah have very different opinions what the halacha is. There are four opinions. The Shulchan Aruch is the most machmer, and he says that even a suda ketana should not be eaten before mincha gedoyla. The first opinion that the Ramah cites is that a suda gedoyla may not be eaten before mincha gedoyla, and a suda ketana may not be eaten before mincha ketana. The second opinion of the Ramah is that before mincha gedoyla, any type of meal is mutter. Before mincha ketana, even a small suda may not be eaten. And then the Ramah cites a third opinion, that a suda gedoyla is osur before mincha gedoyla, and a suda ketana is mutter even before the mincha ketana. And the Ramah says, Nagul hater, which means you're allowed to eat a suda gedoyla before the mincha gedoyla, and a suda ketana before the mincha ketana. But everybody will agree that a suda gedoyla may not be eaten before the mincha ketana. Furthermore, says the Ramah, that when we said that you're allowed to eat a Suda Ketana before Mincha Ketana, that's only before the Mincha Ketana came. But once the Mincha Ketana came, even the Ramah will agree that even a Suda Ketana may not be eaten. This halacha also applies that you may not David, you may not begin to learn, or unless there's a minyan kavua. And another interesting halacha, you shouldn't hold a child on that time, because if you're going to hold a child at that time, he may get you dirty, and then you'll have to change clothing. And by the time you change your clothing, it'll already pass the time of mincha. So we spoke about taking a haircut. Ask the Gemara, "Emesai has cholos taspiris." What is the time when taking a haircut begins? Amar of Avin Mishneich Mapiris. When they used to put on the blanket to cover themselves during the haircut, Abrokov on his knees. Emesai has cholos merkatz. When does the beginning of a bath begin? Amar of Avin Mishiar Meftar to Imenu. When he starts getting undressed. Emesai has cholos berski. When is it considered you started the burski? Mishiyik shebenk seifav. From the time that you roll up your sleeves to begin your working. Umeimisai eschos achila. When is it considered that the meal began? Rava mishitol yodov. For when you wash your hands. Rechanina amar mishiyatol chagura. When you open up your belt. It says the Gemara pligi. Ha, this the Rabbi Chanina said is lon to people in Bavel. And people in Bavel used to wear a tight belt. And before they ate, they used to open up the belt. For halahuan. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't wear these types of belt. And therefore, they didn't wear these types of belts. The halacha is that they didn't have to open up their belt to dive. They didn't have to open up their belt to eat. And therefore, the meal only begins not from when you open your belt, rather from when you wash your hands. Actually, there's a question for those, we're going to speak in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, Shir, about wearing a belt, and there are those that wear a gartel, and there's a different machloikas between different chassidish groups. Some dafka wear their gartel during the meal, and some specifically don't wear a gartel when they eat the meal.